So the spiritual disciplines invite us on a journey with Jesus into the God-given desires deep within each of us to learn those unforced rhythms of grace. And it is my prayer that Jesus will give you a way of keeping company with him that opens you wide to God's love. I'll share with you some of the disciplines that have helped me, but then we might see which ones you're drawn to as well. A wise person once reminded me that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. So, and does a branch run out in front, you know, 10 steps ahead of the vine, trying to get as much accomplished in her own efforts as she can and just forming her own schemes and plans? No, the branch remains attached to the vine. As a Christian, my first job is to abide. To abide in the love of God, to make myself available for God, and to stay connected to the vine. Because Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Do you feel withered sometimes?
Yeah.
Because you're not connected, you haven't spent time with God, you haven't been the word, or you haven't spent time in prayer or in your spiritual discipline, whatever that may be. Okay, so now I want to look at this handout and talk about some of the different disciplines. When I was boiling this list down, I wrote at the top, what activities belong on a list? Well, there's no complete list. Any activity that helps you to grow in the grace of Christ might make your spiritual disciplines list. For instance, Sarah Barton includes cooking for family and friends as a spiritual discipline. And Dana over here also finds cooking to be a way of connecting to other people. What is it about cooking? It's the
For me, I practice cooking as a spiritual discipline because it is the space where I move away from the rest of my life mm-hmm. and pay attention to something that follows an order and a rhythm. Because when you take food that's given to us and process it into food that we give out, you have to follow certain rules mm-hmm. and certain contexts, and you have to spend time. You can't necessarily speed up the process of certain things.
Mm-hmm. And so slowing itself is a spiritual discipline. Just the act of slowing. I wish I could give each of you a copy of this book, but I do recommend it. This is called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, Practices That Transform Us. And she has a fantastic index in the front of all the various spiritual disciplines.
And is it by?
It's by Adele, A-D-E-L-E. I'll write the name up here. Adele Oliver Calhoun. And the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook. This is a great book because it also gives you a little summary of each one, how to do it, what it is, the goal. But yeah, just something like cooking also. I think Sarah says that's a great one for her because as she's working with the ingredients that are coming from God's earth, it connects her to creation. It connects her to the goodness of what God has made for us. It purposefully makes her slow down and also cook for her family, which is an act of hospitality. Or neighbors and friends. Again, hospitality is a spiritual discipline. I don't know if you knew that. But so then you're also engaging with, it makes you slow down and sit around the table, right? The act of sitting down to dinner and not eating in a drive-thru on the run is a spiritual discipline. Slowing down, enjoying what God has made for us. I arrange these disciplines into disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement. The disciplines of abstinence, these are ways of denying ourselves something we want or need in order to make space to focus on and connect with God. Some of those are solitude. That's simply refraining from interacting with people. I've discovered at the age of 44, I'm an introvert. I love being with people, but it wears me out. And I have to go back home and be alone and have that solitude. Have that time with God to then re-energize so that I can re-engage. But that's important, and you need to know yourself if that's a thing that you need to invest more in. It's time alone, time with God. So
silence, not speaking in a quiet place in order to quiet our minds and our whole self and to attend to God's presence, fasting, going without food. That there are other fasts, such as a social media fast. That's something really popular now with teenagers and children. If you're wanting to engage spiritual disciplines with your kids, we can talk about fasting from things like that. And it's not just—it's not a punishment. It's not to deny them something that they love, but it's to create, again, that space for other things. When we fill it with these things, we don't have time for God. We don't have time for family and those conversations, like I said, around the dinner table that are transformative as well. Sabbath, doing no work to rest in God's person and provision. I love this quote about Sabbath. A professor reminded us that Sabbath is God's way of reminding us that He is God and we are not. If we stop for one day a week and just we don't work, what's that saying is, I don't have to depend on myself for all my needs. God is going to provide whether I keep working through that seventh day or not. So we want to carve out that time for Sabbath, not only to spend time with God, but also just to realize the world's going to go on without us. We are not so important that we have to work all the time. People will be fine without us. So again, setting those boundaries, carving out a Sabbath is such good self-care for you, especially if you're in ministry or teaching, or you're with people all the time, meeting needs as a therapist, as a minister. You got to have that day for yourself and for God. Okay, simplicity, to uncomplicate your life, untangle your life, living on less. I know a gentleman that they recently downsized. You know, they were tired of just the maintenance of this enormous house and the resources that it sucked up. And so simplicity can be things like that, letting go of possessions that are just getting in the way, again, of your focus on the things that really matter. And then we talked about slowing already, just to curb our addiction. We're addicted to busyness. Have you all noticed that? We want to always be doing something, and sometimes just doing nothing is a challenge. And then disciplines of engagement include things like Bible reading. We're going to talk about Lectio Divina today, which is a way of reading scripture that is not for information, but for formation. We're going to let the text master us. It's not about trying to master the text, but letting God's word master us and listening for a word from God that's personal and transformative. Worship is a spiritual discipline, and I'll introduce you to some Taizé songs today, which are a form of worship through music. Prayer. There's so many types of prayer. I grew up in Churches of Christ where we didn't do rote prayers. You know, we didn't do written prayers growing up. It had to be extemporaneous or it didn't count. I don't know. I think it was because of the verse. There's a verse somewhere in Scripture that says, you know, beware of vain repetition, that kind of thing. So we avoided written prayers. But in doing that, I think we've cheated ourselves out of some of the richness of liturgy. Are you all familiar with liturgy? These ancient prayers that have been around for centuries. And they're so God-centered and God-focused. And that's what I love about liturgy. And I've incorporated that in my life, too, with a practice called praying the hours. And this is a kind of praying through the lectionary and through the scriptures. And each day, you'll get an Old Testament reading and a psalm and a New Testament reading and a gospel or epistle. And you get written prayers that are very God-focused on who God is, what He's done. And when you focus on the person of God, what He is, the things He's done for you, your fears and your worries and your needs just kind of melt away. It's not so much about, oh, God, just help me with this, and I need this. And focus on the character of God, and all His needs and wants kind of just fall into place under that. And then there's also spiritual friendship. This would include, too, spiritual direction. People, Dana, you have a spiritual director. As a minister, I think it's crucial that we have a spiritual director. If you're in ministry, you need someone you can go to and talk about your journey and hear what they're doing. A spiritual director is listening to God on your behalf. You're talking to them about what's going on in your life, and they're discerning, and they're helping you discern a word from God about what He might be inviting you to in the midst of those circumstances that you're laying out for that spiritual director. And then the practice of examine. This is a wonderful practice that you can do with your kids. And we'll talk about this. This is a way of taking a spiritual inventory of the things that are happening in your life that are life-giving. What have you experienced this week that has given you joy, that has filled you with life? And what things have you experienced that are life-taking, that are just sucking the life right out of you? And then you make an inventory of that verbally or written. You pray about it. And you can do this in a group. We're going to do this in a group, in fact. And then service is also a spiritual discipline. Are you all comfortable? Let's start with the practice. I want to introduce you all to Lectio Divina to begin with, and then we'll do a little, we're going to experience some examine as well. I'm going to put everything off your, or just close it. You don't have to put it off your desk, but close everything. I want you to get centered in your desk, feet flat on the floor, just get really balanced and centered, phones off if they're not already. And what we're going to do, Lectio Divina, like I said, is just a divine reading of Scripture. I'm going to orate it orally. You're going to just, if you would, close your eyes and listen. Try to empty your minds. And we're going to allow the Scripture to read us, okay? The Scripture is there to form us. This is not reading for information. This is reading for formation. So as I read the story through the first time, I want you to hear it like you're hearing it for the very first time. And allow the details to just kind of wash over you. Inhabit this passage of Scripture and listen gently for a word or a phrase that just seems to rise to the surface of this passage, that seems to be given to you, a word that draws you to it. And then I will, we'll have a period of silence at the end of the first reading. And then I'll instruct you on the second reading what to do. Okay. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Listen for a word. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'll just sit in silence for a minute. you would like to speak aloud one word or phrase that the Spirit has brought to mind, you may do so. You don't have to explain. But just say your word aloud if you're moved to.
Life.
Clothes. Threatened.
Seek him.
I'm going to read it through a second time and just allow God's Spirit to bring to your mind and heart an experience or issue that you may be facing right now that seems to connect to your word or phrase, and don't force it, just allow it to emerge. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, we'll sit in silence. You're invited to briefly share, if you desire, where your word or phrase connects with your life. On the third reading, I'd like you to listen for an invitation. Is God inviting you to do or be something in the next few days that you have not been being or doing? Listen for an invitation. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We'll sit in silence. I'd like to invite you to turn to the person behind you or to the side of you and share the invitation you heard from God. Or you could do, choose. I'm going to put you together and examine your connection. Thank you.
whenever y'all are finished sharing, I'm going to move along because I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, so Lectio Divina is a great thing that you can do not only with a Bible study group or a women's group, or you can do it with children. It is so interesting. If you've ever done it with fifth graders or middle schoolers, the things they hear in Scripture and you the things they notice about God, and that's a question I like to pose to children when I'm doing this with them, is what did you notice about God in that passage? And it really, it's just leads to very deep reflection. And we never, when doing it with children, would judge their answers. You would let them, even if it's a way out thing that they've heard, you let them hear it. You just use, oh, wow. Never saw it that way, but that's very cool. You know, just affirm those answers, even if they're way out there. And they may give you some insight that you never saw in that text before, too, which is really incredible. Okay, so the practice of examen. This is an ancient practice, goes back to St. Ignatius. And if you look at your handout I gave you, there's websites on the back of the list here. If you flip over your spiritual disciplines list, there's all these websites on the back. So if you're interested in learning more about some of these practices, the St. Ignatius, yes, there it is, a second website from the center here. That's where you can go and learn about the Ignatian adventure of examen. But basically what examen is a prayer, like I said, of reflection of the events of the day in order to detect God's presence and discern his direction for us. When we pray examen, we're really reviewing the day. We're looking at the things that have happened this week or today and those things, again, that gave you life. I want you to share in a small group. I'm going to put you five together. I want you to go around and share. Maybe the group should be smaller because we'll have to move it along. Let's do four. Let's put you four together. And let's put you two and you two together. Let's put y'all four together. And I'll be over here with you all. And in examen, what we do is you list, and with kids, the way you do it is you say, what was your highlight today? What's the highlight of your day? Highlight of your week? We call it highlights and lowlights. What was the thing that just really took the wind out of your sails? You know, what's your low light? And after you let each child or each person share, you then take those things to prayer. You thank God for the things that gave you life and that were life-giving and joyful. You praise him and give him gratitude for that. And the things that were just, that are just really tearing at you, you just give those things to God as well. You give those to God and you ask him to redeem those areas of your life or your child's life. So I would like for y'all in your small groups to just share, if you would like to, the one thing that has been really life-giving this week and something that's just, And then at the end, spend some time in prayer praying over those things. Can y'all do that? You brave enough to try it? Okay. And
I'm going to you with us.
Okay, y'all put together and I'm going to deal with these.
Okay.
Yeah,
in that way, hey?
The beauty of the air and if we're from out, so it's raining and out cooking right now, we're rejoicing over it. But just to acknowledge how God refreshes you, even when you've gone through a terrible
crisis. The low line
so
is that before she was born, is when my mom and so it was this like.
Do you want to have a low line?
My low line?
My first was.
Listening to a presenter and have
the like her piece of that is which that obviously is here in the
woods.
My low light love
I went ready for
that.
And unfortunately,
just the
first
in our lives is really
We are if you want to question something.
Are you going to do four highs and then four lows?
And then respond to it.
Highlight is. I feel like I'm kind of drawing closer to God by bringing some benefits. It's bringing a feeling that's very pleasant. And it's not even that there's no trouble in life, it's just a sense of, I think that it's probably how it's supposed to feel, more awkward than it feels. The low light's not even that low, but within the drawing here, then I'm aware of some points of conviction. I'm aware of things in me that shouldn't be in me. I'm aware of battles with ego and wishes I have for life that are more self-centered than they're supposed to be. So that's not even a desperate low, it's just kind of a thing that if you draw close and make yourself available, he's quite happy to point things out. And he's faithfully doing it.
I'm going to flip my low light right now is that Sunday, I went to the children's minister, and we are in a season of really exciting church growth and just not enough manpower to handle that well. And so all of that is falling on my shoulders, and it is pretty religious right now. Like I'm sitting in here trying to really calmly respond to prayer, exercises, and thinking, I need so much time to call Sunday. Like, is this going to get done for 6 in the morning? How early will I go in after 1 in Saturday night? And so that's really been this life cycle for me. I'm enjoying the last couple of months because we are in a very transitional season where we cannot take the next step to alleviate that. But we have this beautiful growth, and it's here. So that's the stuff. My highlight for this week was something unexpected. This is my first time to come to church on Sunday. And so I didn't really know exactly what to do. And I just had a number of really lovely conversations. Very affirming. Where I am in my ministry, and dreams that I'll dream down the road in my personal life and in my ministry, and that was unexpected because I took the children's conference, and they're very friendly, and there's a lot of excitement and stuff and things, and just kind of go until you go home and drop. And this is not been like that at all. And lovely conversations with people that I did not think I would get time with, and very affirming things coming from them that I did not expect. And so that's just really lovely. So.
Well, I get all the blessings.
And you guys are also lovely.
I'm just coming as a witness for shock.
Ministry. I hope you forget for another month.
Yeah.
Something I never had to do. I know it's not exhausting.
That you're there, and you can help us take care of it, and that
We don't have to live by the edge time. That we can take a breather, take a break, and get the things we need to accomplish on another day. Help us have peace and help Holly have peace. The job will be done, and it'll be done to perfection as she wants it to be done, and she's going to satisfy herself as well as the people that are waiting on her.
There are no links to that song out here.
We all have to recognize that. Our blood comes at different times in different places, in different spaces. So be with us all as we learn to move and move in your direction with your flow, as well as we do with the secular world and its direction. We thank you for being with us in all things and in all ways, and help us so that we clearly see the footprints of you.
You probably need to pray if you're having a struggle. You did a great
one of the principles that I've tried to
love
in this dream is that are distorted for a part of our stories have an impact on our lives that we have. Living your story alongside
This is the second Lynn Anderson grew up in Saskatchewan, only about an hour from where I grew up.
And so inspiring me to hear it.
Okay.
It is.
Make this part.
Then I caught it on the about.
Not normal there.
Well, there was a certain little
okay.
He hasn't acted in the past or made something in a foreign country like there's something.
We're going to end
with it. I was going to do breath prayer, but we're running out of time. Breath prayer is something you can Google. Google that. It's wonderful. When you're driving into work,
2 lines. 4 minutes. So simple. So simple to pray this. If you have high blood pressure, breathe in with me. And as you breathe in, you're praying this first line. Jesus Christ, Lord of light, fill me with the light of your presence as you breathe out. And it's just a rhythm of breathing in as you say the first line, breathing out as you say the second line. And I do it mentally. I don't say it out loud because that messes with my breath. So I said, Jesus Christ, Lord of light, in my head, fill me with the light of your presence. And there's all kinds of 2-line prayers that you can do, and you can find them on the internet. Another one is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Isn't that simple? Thy kingdom come. And
I'm going to end with some Tizay. I wish I could just do a whole hour on Tizay, but I can't. But I'm going to end with this song. And you're going to see how easy Tizay is. It's almost like a prayer a breath prayer because it's so simple and circular. Let me get to the lyrics. This is the whole song. This is a meditation in itself as you sing. And these videos are all over YouTube. Mm-hmm. Google today, or not Google, but look for today on YouTube, and you'll find all kinds of songs. The beauty of today, so much of our worship, if you notice, is very linear.
Yeah.
Today is circular because of the repetition. Mm-hmm. And what that does, the purpose of it being repetitive and simple like that, is so your mind can disconnect then, and your soul can be open to the presence of God. And so one practice I have a Tizé album where there's purposeful periods of silence between the songs, because what the song is doing is just preparing you to be open for God. And then in that period of silence, you just sit and you just be with God. And you need another song. But this is a great way of meditating to music or praying through music and having that quiet time with God. I hope you'll look at the handouts. I really just wanted to provide you resources that you can explore more thoroughly. All kinds of websites on there and books. And there's the today links on the second page. So, enjoy. I'm so sorry we didn't have more time.
Thank you.
We could have done a really short video.